Hey, welcome to the More Than Money podcast. This is Chris Burns. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you're having a great week. Another week, another large financial company taking advantage of its customers. Now, this is not a new thing. We talk about this on the show a lot, but way before any of us were born, large companies finding ways to systematically, institutionally take advantage of customers is not new, right? But we've seen in the last few years so many quote-unquote trusted names in the financial world doing this to their customers. Wells Fargo, TD Ameritrade, you could even lump Fidelity, some things we talked about with them, and now American Express. So I don't say this to say, you know, never work with big financial companies. Not in any way. We have to. Our world is kind of structured where we need to have interaction with these people, but it's on us to make sure as best as possible that we don't get taken advantage of. So whether you're sitting down with an advisor, a financial planner, or you're opening an account with a massive company, how do you make sure you're not being taken advantage of? This is critical stuff. Whether you carry an Amex or not, you need to hear this. If you have any questions as you listen, jump on my website. It's mylifeismore.com. You can ask anything. We will get back to you again. Mylifeismore.com, and enjoy the show. Listening to this show, you know one of my pet peeves, something that I will regularly discuss with you, is the abuse of customers by financial companies, by financial advisors, because it's endemic. It's a problem in our industry, okay? And we talk about it a lot because you need to know how to protect yourself here. So the latest in the string of large financial companies totally messing with their customers is American Express. And this is unfortunate. Am I surprised? Not at all, because we've seen it over and over and over again, right? We've talked about Wells Fargo, massive scandals across multiple different areas of their company where customers were taken advantage of, okay? We talked about TIAA CREF a few months ago, where they were pushing customers into accounts that were more expensive so that it would generate higher fees and commissions for advisors. And now American Express, same thing, right? Second verse, same as the first. Is that the thing? Anyway, I don't know. Regardless, same thing. Here's the deal. In one of their business lines, this is not, as far as we know, everywhere in American Express, but in one significant part of their business, currency transactions, they would bring clients in, they would tell the clients, hey, you have this great rate, and then they would quietly raise the rate without the client knowing that. And some of you were thinking, look, I have Comcast, this is like totally the norm, right? Like this happens all the time. I check my bill 7 months later and suddenly I'm paying 18 times as much and I have to call them and complain and whine. I had friends in college that literally every few months would just had it on their calendar to call Comcast to lower the rate again. I'm going to leave if you don't lower my rate. All right, we'll lower your rate. But this is different because it's not just that you forgot that you had a 6-month introductory rate. You were never told it was an introductory rate in this situation. So the American Express representatives would tell people this is your rate and they would very quietly begin to raise it until maybe a client complained about it. And why would they raise that rate? Why would they raise it? Why would me, as a representative in this case of American Express, choose to raise the rate of a customer like that? You know why? Because they had incentives tied to it. They received a larger commission as that rate went up. So they were literally being incentivized. Hear this. This is the key behind all of this. The keys to the kingdom of knowing how to protect yourself from financial advisors, from financial companies messing with you is in this statement. So listen closely, friends, and that is this, that the way that people are incentivized will drive the way they treat you. And if you hear that and say, that's common sense, take it to heart, brother. Listen closely. The way these companies incentivize their people are driving them to do things that are not in your best interests. Often, right? Like if the company says, hey, we will pay you more commission if the fee is higher, then what's that representative going to try to do? They're going to try to raise that fee. And if you think this is just a remote thing, think about your own business for a minute. Where does this happen in your industry? I bet you know. I bet when you look at your industry, there is stuff like this going on. But it happens all over the financial world. I was literally telling somebody this week. I was sitting down at lunch with a client. I told them this story. They said, oh man, I had that a few weeks ago in my own job. They worked in the mortgage industry. And they said, in my industry, literally we had the right to basically give a person two different types of loans. One of the loans would pay a higher commission, and my broker literally told me, well, it's up to you. This loan is better for the client, okay, and this other loan is better for you, the broker. So you pick. It's up to you. It's fine with us either way. They literally said it to him. It's fine with us either way. You just pick which. You're going to screw the customer over where they're going to have a higher interest rate and you get a bigger commission, or you're going to put them in the better loan for them, but then your commission is lower. Okay, I talked to someone else this week, a banker. I'm having the same discussion. I'm describing what happened at American Express. He said, oh man, that happens in my business. He said, literally, when someone has an overdraft, if they come in, I have the power as a banker at this branch to revoke the overdraft fees up to a certain limit. But if I choose to do that, then it comes directly from my compensation. Okay, so if a person makes a mistake, and they have like multiple overdraft fees and they come in and it's legitimate. I have the power to change that, but the company has now incentivized me not to do it because if I take away one or two of those fees, it comes directly from me now. So you wonder why we have abuse in the industry. It's because company after company after company incentivizes their employees to do that abuse. And then this is what drives me crazy. Then they have the nerve to come back and just say in their beautiful statements, oh, but we would never do that. We don't have a culture of that. What are you talking about? So let's just listen to the statement American Express put out about this, about the reality that people were raising. The Wall Street Journal did a lengthy expose looking at over a decade of work where this was happening. And this is the response from American Express. Ready? Here's a quote. Quote, we constantly reinforce the importance of acting in the best interest of our customers, said the American Express spokeswoman. We constantly reinforce the importance of acting in the best interest of our customers. Well, here's a question then, friends. If that's really the core, if the most important thing to your company is acting in the best interest of our company, of our customers, then why in the world did you create a compensation structure that benefits your employees when they don't do that? When they don't do that? Let's cut the rhetoric, friends. When you create a compensation structure where it benefits the person selling whatever the thing is, it benefits them to not act in the client's best interests, what do you think they're going to do 9 times out of 10? They're not going to act in your best interests. This is not rocket science. And it happens over and over and over again. And I still meet people that are surprised by this. The only way to be sure that you are not being taken advantage of when you work with a financial advisor, when you work with a large financial corporation, is to make sure your incentives line up. Do not buy into nice sounding rhetoric over and over again. It's nonsense because listen, there is something out there called a fiduciary. Right? You might have heard this before. What's a fiduciary? Besides being a very strange word, okay? A lot of people come into my office, they ask, are you a fiduciary? Often they don't even know what that means, but they've been told to ask that question, and they should ask that question because what a fiduciary is by law is someone who has to act in the best interest of their clients. That if they don't do that, they're held legally accountable for it. Okay? Here is the insidious, nasty way that this is being abused, okay? The language of a fiduciary is, I have to act in my client's best interest. Let me explain that for a minute. You walk into my office, you sit down with me, we have some great small talk, then we're talking about investing, and you say, I really want, we'll just pick a large American mutual fund, big American companies. Okay, if I look out at the world of investing and there's three different investments that are all perfectly fine for you, okay, but one of them would pay some, you know, huge commission to me or maybe give me a trip to Maui or something, and the other two, but it's higher fees for you, and the other two are just as good, but they wouldn't give me any special perks, so I only recommend to you, hey, why don't you pick this one, and I start packing for my trip to Maui, all right? That is me not acting in your best interests. And if you found out about that and I'm a fiduciary, I'm in trouble, all right? But the problem is the language, quote, best interest can be taken by anybody and abused. And so when the American Express spokesperson says, hey, we constantly reinforce the importance of acting in the best interest, what they're doing is taking the language of a fiduciary, but they're not fiduciaries. They're just stealing the language. We reinforce the importance of doing this. Are you required to do it, though? No, because you're not a fiduciary. So you can go all day long and spout out about how, well, we know we have a company culture of acting in the best interest. I mean, I've heard this from so many large companies. You're not held to that standard. So in the end, it's all nonsense. Okay, so here's the key. When you sit down with somebody, you should always ask them, are you a fiduciary? So by law, do you have to act in my best interests? And then they have to give you a straight answer on that. Okay, but now we got to go one step deeper, all right? Because that's not quite enough because our industry is screwed up enough that that doesn't totally answer the question for you. And before I tell you that, if you're just joining us, this is Chris Burns. You're listening to More Than Money. I'm yelling at somebody, in this case, large financial companies. If you missed the first part of our show, please jump on my website. It's mylifeismore.com. You got to hear that. It was really important stuff related to how you can avoid becoming a victim of the unexpected stuff of life. But if you missed it, you're in luck. Again, mylifeismore.com. You can listen, you can ask questions. We're talking right now about how you can be sure the person or company you're working with is acting in your best interests, okay? The first thing that you can do is ask if they're a fiduciary. But the problem is, if they say yes, there might still be one more complication, and that's this. For some reason, currently in the financial world, you can be licensed both as a fiduciary on certain areas and with a brokerage license in others. So let me give you an example. You could literally sit down with an advisor. It's actually more normal than not, and have them carry this dual licensing. So how do you know when you're sitting with them if the current thing you're talking about with them, they are held to a fiduciary standard in your best interests, or just a suitability standard, which just means as long as it's suitable for you, but it doesn't have to be the best. And this is where you've got to be. I've talked about this before. You got to be almost awkward. You've got to say, hey, not only are you a fiduciary, but are you also licensed under a suitability standard as well? Are you carrying both? And is what we're talking about on the fiduciary side or not? Like, ask that specific of a question. Listen, what I did when I launched my company, I used to be dual licensed. It was required by the company I worked with that I had both types of licensing. And so when I started my company, I dropped the brokerage licenses. Why? Just to clear the confusion. So people would know if we're talking about investing, this person is acting as a fiduciary. So make sure, not that you never work with someone who's not licensed as a fiduciary. It's actually not the point. Some people are like, you're just saying this, you know, to drive business to fiduciary. Okay. I think it's great to be a fiduciary. I strongly recommend any planner you work with be a fiduciary. But even if they're not, and they're a great person, and for some reason they haven't decided to go that route, you better understand what you're dealing with. Because so many people now are co-opting the language of fiduciaries, companies and individuals. Well, we always treat it as very important to act in the best interest. I don't give a rip if you think it's important. I don't give a rip if it's a company culture you're trying to create. I want to know, are you required by law? Are you held to this by some sort of standard beyond your good intentions, friend? Because when it comes down to it, if your good intentions are sitting and looking at a bigger paycheck by screwing me over, I don't know if you're going to go with the bigger paycheck. Okay, I don't know that, and you don't know that. So you better understand what you're dealing with. And what this means for companies is when you're on the line with a company and they start sweet talking you about how, oh, well, it's very important that we here at blah, blah, blah always try to do what's best for our clients. Okay, you need to push one step further. Do you do that because you're great people, or are you required by law to do that? Are you all fiduciaries? And when they answer you, which they probably will, well, no, we're not actually fiduciaries, then you say, then I want to dig deeper. I want to see the fine print. I want to know for sure this is the best thing for me and not just the best thing for you. Okay, do not settle for sweet talk and language, because time and time and time again, we come back and find out, oh, actually, what you didn't know was that behind the scenes, that person had to make a very difficult choice. And actually, let me say this, and this is not going to be popular. I don't totally fault the people. Because if you're an employee at a company, think about this for a minute. Let's take an example. This gentleman at the bank, he's a great guy. I've seen him regularly make decisions that's right for the customer, but he's not a fiduciary, okay? So if someone comes to him and they say, I totally made a mistake, or for whatever reason, I overdrafted, and it would seem like it's the right thing to remove that overdraft fee, but his company, the bank, has put him in the position where now it's literally coming from his paycheck, that's like an ethical dilemma, right? That's not cut and dry. And I don't just blame those bankers out there that might choose to say, no, I can't take away that fee. It's the bank that created that incentive program. It's the bank that chose to compensate their people in a way where it would be better to take advantage of customers. So guess who's really at fault here? It's the bank. But guess who gets fired from Wells Fargo when scandal comes down? The first people fired are all those people on the front lines. But who's really at fault? The company that made those decisions. And why am I so passionate about this? Because it happens over and over and over and over and over again. And again, like we talked about in the first section, it is your job. It is your job to make sure you're not a victim. It is your job to make sure that even when the unexpected happens, that you're going to be okay. And so you have to ask these questions. And if you're sitting right now and you go, man, I have no idea if the companies I work with are operating out of a fiduciary standard. I have no idea if they're doing what's in my best interest, if the way that I'm invested or the insurance products I have are actually best for me. I don't know. If you're sitting there, please jump on my website. It's mylifeismore.com. The reason we are a fee-based planning firm is so you can pay us one flat fee that you can afford and walk through a process where we give you objective feedback about every aspect of your financial world so we can answer those questions that you might go, I have a hard time knowing. How would I know if this insurance person I'm working with has given me what I actually need or was just the best product for them? How do I know that? Walk through a planning process that looks at all of it. And if you want to do that, again, jump on my website. It's mylifeismore.com. That is what we are passionate about. That's what we wake up every morning to do, is to help folks walk through that planning process and understand, am I really where I need to be?